You're a student. You are a young person. You're trying to go through life, figuring things out. You probably have looked at yourself and said, what am I going to do for the rest of my life? And you probably don't have a lot of answers, and that's okay. It's not in the answers, it's in the questions that we ask that really determine the outcome. And some people that I come across, they don't know what to do. They don't know how to ask good questions. They don't even know how to ask good questions themselves. And it's because they haven't developed a competency that really allows them to get the things they desire. So I really want to talk to you about the stages of learning and how we develop competency in such a way that we keep from Peter principling out. You might ask, what is Peter principling? I'm glad you asked. Peter principle says this: everyone rises to their own level of incompetency. I want you to think of this as a line that we've drawn up here on the board. Everything below the line are the things that we're competent at. Everything above the line are incompetencies. If I ask you, are you incompetent? How would you answer? Most people don't like it when I say that. You're incompetent. Who would? But the reality of it is, you're more incompetent at things than you are competent. Would I come to you and to learn how to do skydiving? Would I come to you to learn ballet? Would I come to you to learn how to be a brain surgeon? I bet I could go on and list more things that you're incompetent at than you're competent at, and by the time I was through with you, you'd be feeling pretty incompetent. It's not that we don't have competencies in our life, but it's the ability to develop competencies in such a way that we don't reach a level where we reach our own incompetencies. And I've seen it happen over and over again. Young people, I've got to tell you something. You have to develop competencies in your life, because without it, you lack growth. Now, I want you to think about something here. I want you to think about, what is your natural ability? If I asked you, what are you naturally good at doing? What I'd like for you to do is write that down. And I'm going to give you a moment. You can stop the tape. And I want to give you a moment to write down the things that you're naturally good at. Let me give you an example. I might be naturally good at being a person of high energy. I might be naturally good at my ability to interact with other people. So take a moment and do a self-evaluation. What are the things you're naturally good at? You didn't have to work to get it. You're just that way. Okay. You probably have 7, 8, 9, 10 things down there. Now, here's what I've observed with most young people, and in fact, most people, is that we rely on natural ability to the point when it stops working for us, we don't know what to do. When I was going through school, I had a natural ability. I had a natural ability to be able to read things and comprehend them. I had a natural ability to remember facts and figures. And it worked well for me. I didn't really have to study that hard. I could read the stuff. I could comprehend it. I could memorize it. And I didn't have to really work that hard to study. And it wasn't until I took a job at Blue Cross and Blue Shield that I encountered a man that became my boss. His name was Phil. And Phil had asked me to do a report. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm just-in-time Charlie. Do you know what just-in-time Charlie is? I do things just in time. I may not pre-plan, but I get it done. I'm a deadline-oriented person. You might be that way. But you know, the problem with deadline-oriented people is they really don't spend a lot of time and they really don't do their best work. They get it done, but they don't do the best job they can do. Now, I don't know how Phil figured that out. It's kind of bad for me. But he gave me a job to do. I waited till the last minute. I got it done. I brought it in and I gave it to Phil. And Phil picked it up and he looked at me and he tore it up. And I'll never forget when he said, "It's not good enough." Now, I don't know how you would react to that, but he hadn't even read it. How would he know it's not good enough? He tore it up in front of my face. Not good enough. And I said, "Well, what's not good enough about it?" He said, if I have to tell you, I've got the wrong guy in the job. Now, how would you react? Well, I'd like to think I reacted very maturely, but I didn't. It made me mad. It made me angry. I wanted to get revenge. I wanted to tear him apart. I went off and I thought about it and I worried about it and I studied. I think, oh, this makes me so mad. And it was all about him and not about me. Then all of a sudden I thought, okay, he wants a report. I'm going to give him a report. So I went back to the drawing board and I put a few things in. You know, I had a little footnotes, maybe had a little chart, put a little front cover on it, glossied it up, made it look pretty. Brought it back in, and I delivered it back to him. He didn't even open it. He tore it up again. And he said, not good enough. Now, if you thought the first time I was mad, this time I'm really stoked. I'm like out of my mind. I don't know what to do. I Peter principled out. I have no concept of what to do. And after I got through my own immaturities, I began to start looking at it and seeing things and saying, okay, I don't know what to do, but I'm going to give him everything I know to do. Put table of contents in. Put calculations of how I arrived at my decisions. I put footnotes. I made it to the point where I did everything I knew to do to deliver a comprehensive report. And I delivered it to him. He didn't even open it. He looked at me and he asked me the question. He said, is this your best work? And I said, look, I don't know what else to do. You've got everything I can deliver. Yes, it's my best work. And he said, it's good enough for me. Now, I wouldn't suggest that people motivate others quite like this. But I don't know if you're like me, but I happen to be a 2x4 kind of guy. That means that somebody has to take a 2x4 and hit me up against the head for me to learn lessons. And I know many young people are like that. I got four daughters of my own. I'm not suggesting they're 2x4 people, but I've raised kids and I've seen guys, and most guys are 2x4 guys. Got to be hit up by the side of the head before they learn a lesson. And I needed that. Didn't like it, didn't want to go through it, but I had to learn it. And what I learned from that was this. The things that always served me well, the things that I'd always done up to that point in time, weren't going to work anymore. And that's what I mean by reaching a level of incompetency. We always reach our levels of incompetency. And when we do, we Peter principle out. You see this in business. People who go through business life and they reach a level and they just can't get any better anymore. They Peter principled. Now, each one of you wrote down some things on a piece of paper that we're talk about your natural ability. But I will tell you that I see people who overutilize their natural ability to a point that once it begins to start working for them, they don't know what to do. And you will reach that point. Your natural ability only will work so long for so much time. And you see this, they hit a brick wall and they don't know what to do, and they do exactly what I do. They blame everyone else, they blame everything else, and they don't look at the things that would cause them to move forward in their competency levels. So, how do we get more competent? Got to know more. Got to do more. Got to study more. Got to learn more. Got to absorb more. And what happens is we take this line and we move it to here, and what we still have is this line represents competency. The opposing line still represents the things that we are incompetent at. So we never truly get beyond incompetency. We just have to keep raising the bar. Hopefully, as you're growing older, you're raising your level of competency and lowering your level of incompetency. And as we do that, life becomes really easy. Okay, so why do I even bring this up? Well, think about it like this. I know you hate the word, but I'm going to use it anyway. Every one of you are immature. We all are immature. In fact, there are maturities and immaturities that happen in every person. I can think of myself as being totally mature, which I hope I am. But then let somebody cut me off driving and watch all the immaturities come out. It happens that way. Don't you find it fascinating that we have maturity and immaturity both in the same body? Hopefully what happens over time is our maturities grow and our immaturities decline. I will tell you, I see people whose immaturities are growing and their maturities are declining. I work in a big call center. I hire people. And I'm astonished at the number of immaturities that happen around me. I'm astonished at the number of people who come where I have to teach them certain things they should have learned at home. Maturity is one of those things that's hard to grasp. But you know what? That's why you find a mentor. That's why you need to seek someone out who can help you grow, not in just knowledge and skill, but in maturity, in wisdom. Bible says that a person is more mature when they do what? They find more wisdom when what? They surround themselves with what? A group of counselors, not young people just like them. Let me share with you something. Immaturity plus immaturity never equals maturity. Never. You take a person who's immature, put them with someone who's immature, you'll never have a mature outcome. And don't you find it fascinating that it seems like all the rebels seem to find each other? I've never seen a mature person go looking for a rebel. I never have. But watch this. If you take someone who's immature and match them up with somebody who's mature, there at least is hope that they'll drive towards a mature thinking. So let's talk about how do we go through the maturity process towards what I would call going from incompetency to competency. If we develop competency in our life, we develop maturity. As maturity grows, competency grows. And if we're more mature, we will be more incompetent at the things we do. I look at my business sometimes with a group of people I have, and I think, man, all I do is run an adult daycare center. It's fascinating to me that people can grow in age, but they wind up never growing in maturity. So let's talk about this. I want you to write four boxes. One is UI, second box CI, third box CC, fourth box UC. Write those letters in those boxes. We're going to talk about what that is. The first one stands for unconscious incompetency. Everybody starts at that level. When you were born, you knew nothing, you could do nothing. And as you progress, even in age, you still don't know anything and can't do much. There are people who come to me and want to sell the products I sell. And they don't necessarily sell those products. So finding somebody who can sell the products I sell, not likely. So I get people many times who are what I would term unconsciously incompetent. I want you to write out this word. This stands for don't know, can't do. In other words, they don't know what to do, and they can't do it. Unconscious incompetency. Don't know what to do, can't do it. Hopefully, a person doesn't stay there very long. You know what I'm finding in homeschool circles and Christian circles? I find young people who know what to do, but they still can't do it. You've been taught what to do, but you still can't do it. So hopefully we move from here to this next section, which moves us from unconscious incompetency to conscious incompetency. And by the way, parents in the room, unconscious incompetency, if you're the management team, what should you do for someone who's unconsciously incompetent? Well, there's only one thing you can do, teach them. Or in business circles, weed them out. You come to work at my place, I'm going to either teach you or I'm going to weed you out. And guess what? There are other jobs at McDonald's that are perfectly suited for you if you can't grow. Unconscious incompetency is one of those things that you're either going to be taught. Teaching and training, is there a difference? The answer is yes. Teaching implies head knowledge. The knowledge that goes into our head, but just because it goes into our head doesn't mean it can come out. Many of you have got head knowledge. That's what you possess. I don't know about you, but when I came out of school, I thought I could rule the world. I thought I would go get a job, and they would just offer me the president's job right off the bat. Okay, maybe vice president, but hey, you know, it wouldn't take me very long. I had a high opinion of myself, and I had a high opinion of my knowledge, and I knew about this much. And I know we don't like to hear that, but it's true. And so if we're going to learn the things we need to learn, we have to be open to the kind of concepts that will help us do that. Conscious competency is, it changes. If we go from here to here, teaching implies head knowledge. Can I teach a person to ride a bike by taking him in a room and putting a schematic of the bike up on the wall and teaching the relative laws of gravity, and then I take him to a bike and sail him away? What'll happen? They'll crash and burn, even though they've had the schooling on bike riding. It doesn't work that way. I have four daughters. I taught all of them to ride a bike. And what I found fascinating was that the person who wasn't learning how to ride the bike was the one doing all the work. What did I have to do? I had to run up and down and up and down and hold on that bike. And one daughter in specific was so worried about falling that she kept looking back. And I kept saying, look ahead. Well, Dad, you got that bike. Yes, I got that bike. You got that bike. Yes, I got that bike. Don't let go of that bike. I won't let go of that bike. Look ahead. And as we're running up, I'm huffing and puffing. You got the bike? Yes, I got the bike. And as we're running up and down the street, I'm getting exhausted. And I'm not the one learning how to ride the bike. But as she began to start understanding how to do it, what happened was her balance came into shape. How? By me holding onto the bike. There's a difference between unconscious incompetency and conscious incompetency. Conscious incompetency is now I know what to do, but I still can't do it. I can teach you how to ride a bike in a classroom, but you still can't do it. You're never going to do it until you get on the bike. Now, this is where we move from teaching to training. Parents in the room. I hear people tell me all day long they're training their kids when in fact they're really teaching them. Teaching them head knowledge without practical application. Teaching them head knowledge without the ability to actually be on the bike and bicycle and learn how to do that. That's what a mentor does. A mentor takes it out of the teaching realm and puts it into the training realm to the point where you begin to understand what it is by application. It can't just be head knowledge, and if it stays there, that's all it remains. And you'll have knowledge, but you still will not be able to do the things you want to do because you don't possess the training that is required to be able to take the next steps. We go from unconscious incompetency to conscious incompetency. Fear gets into play. As I'm running up and down the street with my daughter, I've got to hold the bike. She's learning the balance. And all of a sudden, I thought, okay, I'm getting tired. So I thought I'd let go of the bike. And I let go of the bike, and for that momentary piece of time, she rode the bike until she sensed that the presence of my huffing and puffing was no longer there. And then the bike took on a mind of its own. It steered its way out of the parking lot, steered its way across the street, she hit a curb, she flew over the handlebars, and I will tell you, she did not get up from that experience and say, Dad, that was great, let's go do it again. It was almost a year before I could get her on that bike. Why? Parents, because I let go of the bike too soon. You see, if we do that, you can still have somebody who knows what to do, but they still can't do it. What we have to do is we have to go up here where we get to conscious competency. Conscious competency is now, I know what to do, but every time I go to do it, I have to think about it. Do something simple for me, okay? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to just fold your arms. Just fold your arms. Now, some of you are left over right people. Some of you are right over left people. Look down. Who are you? Now, here's what I want to ask you. Okay, so how did you decide that you were going to fold your arms left over right as opposed to right over left? Yeah, don't know. Okay, so what age were you when you decided that? Well, I don't know. I just kind of was walking around one day, didn't know what to do with these, so I just kind of folded them. And what's interesting about folding your arms is that's the way you do it, and you do it that way for the rest of your life. It's that way. You fold your arms that way. Now, when I asked you to fold your arms, did you have to think about it? No, you just did it. Okay, so let's prove out a case. Put your arms down by your side. This time what I want you to do is I want you to fold your arms, but I want you to do it the other way. One, two, three, go. Come on. Some of you haven't even made the trip yet. And you're kind of sitting cockeyed in your chair. Are you kidding me? What did you have to do? Watch what you had to do. Your eyes went down. You had to kind of go, oh, this is difficult. And some of you kind of did this for a while, and then you finally landed somewhere. And what's interesting about it, sometimes you end up in the same place you were before because you're in such a habit. Folding your arms the other way. Now, how does it feel? Uncomfortable. How does it feel? Unnatural. How does it feel? Oh, it doesn't feel good. Quick, put them back the way you're used to. Woo! That feels so good. Why is one way so good and one way not? Because we're not used to it. It's the way we break out of the things that we're used to doing to the things we have to think about, and that requires logical thought, and because of that, it slows us down. And it doesn't feel good, and it doesn't feel natural. And what's our tendency? Well, let's put them back the way we're used to, because that's the way it feels good. And you know what? When you think about it, that's what natural ability does. Natural ability keeps us in that framework of doing things we've always done, and we keep getting the same results we've always gotten, and we do hit a brick wall, and we're never able to get through it because we have Peter principled out. When you get here, you can know what to do, but you have to think your way through it. And it's in that logical thought that requires us to really concentrate. When I've mentored other individuals, I have to get them to think differently. I have to get them to think about certain things. They can't be 10 things at one time. I have to give it to them in very small bites and steps. Why? Because they have to master it. And as they master it, they become experts at it. When they become experts at it, I will tell you, people will be the path right to your door. Young people today don't want to develop expertise. What they think they want to possess is knowledge. Knowledge by itself without expertise is absolutely worthless. And the only way you're going to find that is through somebody who is mature, teaching somebody who is immature, that hopefully will result in maturity. The last level we go to is this. Say it with me. Unconscious incompetency. I don't know what to do and can't do it. Conscious incompetency. I now know what to do, but I still can't do it. I move up here to conscious competency. By the way, parents in the room, this is teach, this is train. What is this? This is coach. Coaching implies the fact that you can't play the game for your children. Have you ever seen a football game where the coach said, God, give me that ball. You're not doing very well, just give it to me. And that's what parents wind up doing. They want to take the ball and play the game for their children, and they can't do it. But they can coach them. Coaching implies doing it from the sidelines. Coaching implies doing it while the game is on. Coaching implies helping them win the game when you can't do anything but do it from the sideline. And when we do that, we help our children get to a conscious competency level where at least they think about it. So now what we're going to do is go to the last quadrant, which is getting over here to that level of unconscious competency. Unconscious competency is, I now know what to do, but I don't have to think about it. I just do it. We just do it. There are things in your life that you've reached an unconscious competency level at, like folding your arms. You didn't have to think about it, you just did it. But I haven't found too many people get success in life by doing that. But it's demonstrative of the fact that we have certain competencies already. And we've learned how to do that. There are things that we do without even thinking about it. We just do it. And that's that area of natural ability that I'm talking about. We overutilize natural ability to the point where we do things, we don't even think about it. But I've seen people get to a point where they can't get any better because they haven't gained any level of competency above and beyond what they're naturally good at doing. What a mentor will do for you is he will point out areas in your life that you have to develop in order to take the next steps that you want. He'll point out natural ability that you overutilize. He'll point out areas that you need to take steps in that aren't going to be easy. He'll go back to the areas of training and coaching that you need to understand and you need to take progressive steps in. And when you do, what will happen is it'll begin to help you take those steps towards what it is you want to achieve. But we rarely go in that direction. We think we know it all. And I will tell you, you know about that much. And if you can ever humble yourself to the point where you think you know just enough to survive, then what you can do with the mentor is you can take it from survival mode to thriving. And when you do that, I'm telling you, you will have success in areas that other people won't. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to identify what your natural ability is. Help, get some help from people who know you. Ask people, what do you think my natural ability is? And then take a look at how you overutilize natural ability to get the things you desire. You will peter principle out. At some point you will. And what happens is that natural ability will not work for you anymore. So identify what the natural ability is. And then begin to start asking yourself, what are the things I would need to possess in order to take the next big step in my own personal development? The next area that I would strongly urge you to consider is, where are you at in this quadrant? Right now, in the competency level of life and what it is you need to possess and going forward, where are you at? And if you can identify that you might be in the area of, I know what to do, I just can't do it, then all the reason why you need a mentor in order to be able to help you get to the next level. If you can identify that, you'll win in areas where people won't. I really strongly encourage you in this area of developing the kind of competency that will help you get to the point where you know you're taking the direction that God wants you to take.